Ephesians chapter 2 in your Bibles this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." An acrostic defines grace as God's riches at Christ's expense. It is described in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." It is my belief that everyone who has ever been saved shares this basic testimony. And it begins this way: I am a sinner. I did nothing to deserve the grace of God. I did nothing to earn my salvation, but it was given to me freely and eternally. And that does not set well with the human philosophy, which says this: you don't get something for nothing. In our society, many are committed to the work ethic. You earn what you get. The harder you work, the more you have. If you're not willing to work, you deserve nothing and you get nothing. There is no such thing as a free lunch. Santa Claus only brings presents to good little boys and girls. We respect the person who works. Gordon Dahl said this in his book: Americans worship their work. We'll not talk to anyone very long without asking, "What do you do for a living?" Because, ladies and gentlemen, we get our identity from our work. Some people are so committed to the work ethic, they can't relax. And when they do, they feel guilty. The work ethic, you don't get something for nothing, unfortunately, we've applied to salvation. Almost every religion tries to get you to heaven with a combination of you and God. God does something, you do something. God does his part, you do your part, and you make it. We relate to that. That makes sense to us because that's the way we live our lives. Dr. Donald Barnhouse said this: "Man is incurably addicted to doing something for his salvation. Thus, it is difficult for him to accept the doctrine of pure grace." What is grace? You can pick up any dictionary or you can Google grace right now, and it will say this: unmerited favor. Something you get you don't deserve. The amazing grace of salvation is God gives eternal life to the one who simply calls upon him based on nothing that they have done. Nothing you will do and no merit on your part at all. He gives it to you freely. There are no catches. There are no strings attached. And it is really hard with our human philosophy of equal return for equal work to comprehend the full meaning of the grace, the pure grace of God. Most people believe when you stand before God, it's a performance issue. It's two scales. One scale is good works, other scale is bad works. If the good works goes down, you go up. If the bad works side goes down, so do you. Okay? It's approaching God saying this, I'm not that bad. Surely God will accept me. And it's as old, ladies and gentlemen, as the Bible. Cain and Abel. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Cain took the modern philosophical approach today. He came to God. He brought the fruit of his hands. Look what I've done. Surely you will accept this on my part. And he totally ignored his sin. Abel brought an animal that was dying as a picture of Christ dying for him in the future. In the New Testament, this surfaced again. It was in Acts 15, it was salvation and works. And then God would accept that. We do that today, baptism and God. But God says, no, that's not the way it is. So let's get the divine principle, because ladies and gentlemen, this is the only thing that matters when you take your last breath. What you have done with the Word of God and the death of Jesus Christ on the cross for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, the Bible says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith. For by grace, for by something, for nothing. Nothing you deserved. Nothing you lived up to, you are saved, present tense, by grace. That is probably the most clear and precise statement of salvation in the Bible. And it's through faith. It's something that you believed in, something that you accepted, something that you received into your life. And then the Bible says, and that not of yourselves. It has nothing to do with your works. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's not going to be any boasting in heaven about what you did. That is the divine principle. It is a gift. And this is how it works. I want you to follow along with me. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And look at verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone's a sinner. Everybody has sinned. We've all failed of the grace of God. The grace of God, ladies and gentlemen, is Christ's life on this earth. That's how we know the grace of God. We've come short of the glory of God. Look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. A wage is what you get for what you've done. And the wages of sin, the thing that sin pays out in the end, is death. Not only physical death, but eternal death, spiritual death, where you're separated from God for all eternity. That's what sin pays out at the end. But Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So how do you get in on that? Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now back to Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 20. Romans chapter 3 and verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. No flesh is going to be justified in his sight. The word justified is a judicial term. It's something like this. I go to the mirror and in the morning and I look in the mirror and I go, oh. And I say to myself, oh, Kim, you look awful. That mirror reveals to me what I am. That's the law. That's the mirror. I look in the Ten Commandments and I see what a sinner I am. The mirror doesn't wash my face or comb my hair or brush my teeth. It just reveals me. And ladies and gentlemen, when you go to this book and you look in that book, it will reveal to you that you are a sinner. And then the Bible says this, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Look at chapter 3 and verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. If you ever see a turtle on a gatepost, you're going to know that turtle didn't get there by himself. Someone put him there. And that's how it is going to be in heaven. When we get to heaven, we didn't get there by ourselves. Somebody put us there. Now, Romans chapter 5 and look at verse 1. He says, therefore, in conclusion, is what he is saying. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And through the years, I've had people, when I would talk about this, and the fact that it is eternal, they say something like this. Well, preacher, if I believe what you just told me, I can go out and live any way I want to live. If salvation is eternal, you're saved by grace, then after I'm saved, I can go out and live any way I want, right? I can live like the devil, right? And I can still go to heaven, right? Let me tell you something. You can go out and live any way you want to. But here's what happens. Your want to changes. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We know that to be true because we look back over our life before we got saved and how different our life is now. 32 years ago, I had just preached a message much like this one and gave the invitation, and Jill Watson came forward. We were in the other facility downtown Phoenix. She came forward. I said, "Jill, why are you coming forward?" She said, "Brother Gray, I need to be saved." She was working in Sunday school. She was faithful to the services. She talked about the Lord a lot. But she was. And she came forward, and Tina knelt with her and led her to Christ. That is right after I had buried her mother, Jeannie Derrigan. And Jill got saved. And for the last 32 years, God gave Jill a peace in her life. And she was a good Christian woman. And folks, I know that Jill is in heaven right now. I was in the room when her mother died. I was in the room when Jill died Friday night. And there was a peace there in the room. The doctor and the nurse had left and just left Tina and I. And we were able to say goodbye to Jill and how much we loved her through the years, and how we look forward to seeing her again. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to say, and to know that God has said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And Jill is there because of pure grace. And if you and I get to heaven, it's going to be because of grace. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for the fact that you looked down and you knew that we were sinners and we were just miserable. And your son went to the cross and died in our place and redeemed us from the consequences of sin. Oh, God, thank you. God, help us to love you and to be a good example to a generation that is in desperate need of the truth of your word. So, Father, help us. Every one of our families has someone in our family that's not saved. Oh, God, help us to be a good witness and a good testimony. One of the last things that Jill ever said to me, "Brother Gray, continue to pray for the Knables and the Bakers and the Lewises." That's her family. And we will continue to do that. And we will ask you, dear Father, that through her death, that we have an opportunity to witness and to make a difference in their life. Father, speak to hearts this morning. Help each one of us to understand and to accept your grace for our eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, ladies and gentlemen.